We're recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people, and we acknowledge them as traditional owners. We'd also like to pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Midnight to midnight. Welcome. Screening. Welcome to midnight screening. Welcome to screening. Welcome to midnight screening. I am screaming. I am screaming. I am screaming.
Welcome to Midnight Screening, where we let you stay up past your bedtime with the movies you probably shouldn't be watching. I'm Eliza.
Hello, I'm Noah, little brother Noah. And who else?
Sister Eliza. And Anthony.
Hi.
Other.
Not a brother or a sister or anything, but basically.
Like, I've mentioned this twice.
A fellow fighter.
I've mentioned this twice since we've been doing Sammo Hung now and never explained, I think, that that's a thing both in these films and in his life that people would call him Big Brother all the time.
Big Brother is watching.
That him and Jackie Chan and his friends from the Academy would all be brothers, but that he was Big Brother.
Yeah.
Which sets the tone for what every one of these films is, actually. But anyway, continue.
That he's kind of looking after everybody, being the Big Brother.
Exactly. Whatever.
I never felt like, wow, it's not time for family therapy or anything. I never felt like with you and our sister Meg, I never felt like I was older than you guys. In some ways, I felt like Meg has always been the most mature and is more like the big sister.
Oh, it is the big trick of our childhood being that you're like, oh, yeah, you know, the baby or the older one. And like,
like you guys are twins. There's not a baby.
literally, I was the middle child by 2 minutes. But in particular, Meg was not the baby.
No.
And you are well aware that I constantly had the thing with you of being like, oh, you know, like, you're so mature and grown up that, like, you just know all these things. Like, you know, like, you either, like, you wouldn't face the same problems or you wouldn't go through the same things. Like, you know all that shit. And then we would grow up and I would ask you and you would be like, oh, yeah, no, it's nice to talk about that. Or, like, I've never thought about that. And I was like, wait.
I'm not a fucking idiot. I'm not, like, super naive or something.
No, but what I mean is I was like, I assume that my big sister doesn't face any problems because they know what's going on. And I always thought you were like mysterious and cool. And I'm like, oh no, you equally have no idea what's going on.
I think it's just you guys
here.
Were both Leos and I was sort of quiet.
Exactly. But that's what I mean. I was like, I assume anyone that doesn't have to express everything they're thinking all the time knows what's going on.
They're just an elevated, because if they didn't, ascended person.
Exactly. If they didn't, they would ask about it. But you actually were just like,
no, I'm like allergic to asking for help or letting anyone know I have problems or anything.
But
are you a Taurus, Eliza?
No, my dad is a Taurus. I'm a Gemini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm
is
a Taurus.
Is that Taurus? And we're don't ask for
I think
help.
We're like a week apart.
Yeah, that's so birthday's funny.
Wise. Wait, when's your birthday?
19th.
Of May?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Crazy. Yeah, that is so close. Wow.
I don't have that in my calendar. I better make note of that.
Noted. We know that now.
So, okay. We can't talk about star sign stuff too much, but something I heard recently is Taurus apparently are the most foodie sign. Like, they know the most about food and like heaps of chefs are Taurus.
There you go. Can't argue with that.
You're good at cooking.
Is an element
like
of Taurus being addicted to chaos? Because that's what I associate chefs with.
No, maybe. I think all Tauruses love cocaine.
I think Tauruses are meant to be like, I mean, the classic one is like bullheaded, stubborn, like fixated on like what they believe and
that's
like what they want
sort
and
of
that
thing.
Sort of stuff. Yeah. But actually, I don't know why I'm pretending to know what I'm saying about any of this because I know nothing else.
I always say my most Leo trait is that I will sit down and try and learn the other star signs and I just don't care about any of them.
There's a few where I'm like, that's not real. I've never met someone that's fucking Sagittarius or something.
I don't think I know Capricorns. Watch my partner tell me immediately that I know like 12 of them, but I can't think of any Capricorns.
Maybe as a fun way into this, can we find out what star sign Sammo Hung is?
Oh, that's a great idea.
7th of January, what's that?
7th of January, that's an Aquarius.
Oh, really?
Right? Is it?
No, it's Capricorn. Like my
what I just said. That's crazy.
Did you actually say
oh my
that?
God, we do know one Capricorn. The one Capricorn I know is Sammo Hung. The next time someone's like, oh, actually, I'm a Capricorn, I'm like, oh, a weird summer hungs.
Yeah.
Actually, a Capricorn.
Like, who's that?
I'm like, let me tell you.
Let me show you. So, okay, it says they need the emotional security of a large circle of friends.
What?
They're like a big brother in a way, you know?
That is the defining element of the big brother.
They bring wonderful and interesting people into their life. Also, I'm looking at entertainment.com. This is going to be bullshit. I need like an old ancient.
Why have we not done this every time we do someone?
What?
A season on someone.
Oh my God, Roger Corman. It says that this person loves trash. That's so accurate.
It says that this person loves to live in the gutter. Crazy. It says there's a dreamlike energy about this star sign. That's David Lynch's. Like,
okay, Capricorn likes family, tradition, music, understated status, his self-deprecating
kind of characters. Oh my God.
Quality craftsmanship. Yes.
Oh my God.
But weaknesses, know-it-all, unforgiving, condescending, expecting the worst. Well, you know what? You got to be a perfectionist.
Unforgiving will punch everyone.
Will punch everyone.
If you kill his brother, he will be unforgiving.
He'll hunt you down. Very absolute sense of justice, of right and wrong.
Wow.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. and to return to your big sister status.
Okay.
I'm not implying you didn't know anything. I just mean I thought you knew everything. I didn't realize you were just not saying that there were things that you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's incredibly shameful to not know everything. Like, I am a big perfectionist and whatever. So like,
you would never say out loud.
I would never be like, hey, I need help with this. Can you explain it? I'll just sit in shame and be like, stop.
It was one of the most confusing early life lesson things was being like, everyone else must be doing great because I'm always being like, what the fuck's going on? And no one seems to know what I'm talking about. And then you realize they're like, I actually don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm just not telling. So that very much is the Big Brother experience. I hope that Sammo Hung alleviated that feeling from his community of friends and was like, I know what's going on. We are going to punch some dudes.
Well, it says he's a know-it-all in the Capricorn thing.
He is a know-it-all. Because I don't think
he does know-it-all. I think he's a genius.
He's a know-it-all where it's all completely based. It's all actually factual. This is what the Midnight Marathon was for. Like, it was for a filmmaker where I'm like, I know a little bit about you. I want to dive in deep. I feel like with the next two parts we have to go, I went through more of a journey than I anticipated I would. I sort of realized that I had applied like a formula that almost reduced him as an artist with ambition. I sort of thought it was going to be like reskinned versions of a similar thing. And
just more martial arts comedy.
I thought it was going to be variations of inventive set pieces that utilize like incredible martial arts ability with sort of like slapstick comedy visual sight gags applied to different visual styles, like applied to an action film or a horror film and stuff. But like, it's almost interesting that like I found myself pushing against some of these films at first because they didn't tidally fit into that form. Like very early on I clocked like, oh, I'm like wanting it to him to be reductive or something and would instantly be won over by whatever new film he was making, which really to me highlights like I've never watched six martial arts films in a row. You know what I mean? Like the last six films I've watched have all been this.
Yeah.
And it really highlights that like, oh yeah, just because it's a genre based around like, you know, sort of like a musical, like just because it's a movie with songs and dance doesn't mean the
when
film
it's done
can't
well.
Do its own complete different thing tonally or I think thematically.
I think we're used to seeing like action movies or genre movies where it's like the movie stops so that a musical number can happen or it stops so that action can happen. And it's like when it's done in such a skillful way, it just feels so like integral to the story that's just happening.
Oh, totally.
And last week, the first two Sammo Hung movies, I was like, wow, I really love this, that anytime, like every 10 minutes, there is a decent enough excuse for a fight and we get a sick choreographed thing. And I think going forward, all the other movies we're talking about, they have bigger gaps where there isn't action. And I'm sort of like, oh, I would love it if they started fighting right now. But it's like, no, it's what's best for the movie. Sometimes they don't have to run into an evil thug who wants to fight them. Sometimes you need a story beat and there needs to be like a random romance section or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I kind of miss the more shameless, like just
that's what
action scenes. But it's showing that he's a, you know, he really matures as a filmmaker.
It's exactly that. It's almost that thing where I'm like, it's sort of like I'm someone being like, oh, no, don't play your new stuff. Like, play the old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but the old stuff was, again, we're only half, we're literally at the start of part two. We're not at the end yet. But yeah. Like, I think it's so weird for the first Sammo Hung film you watch to be Knockabout, because that was my first one. Mm-hmm. And it's actually very much a, like, to me, in retrospect now, having gone through the season, like a young, dumb, full cum movie.
Loose it is.
It's like a young guy being like, I'm going to throw every trick at the wall and everything is a showcase.
He is literally
of like,
a dancing monkey for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like all of his skill sets at their most heightened and like expressive. And then the rest of the films we're going to talk about, the next four films we're going to talk about, are more about like, I wanted to play in this particular world and I'm actually meeting that story at what it needs, which as you said, usually is like less than the like maximalist approach of Knockabout and Enter the Fat Dragon in a more like low budget way. Like it, yeah, they really are, particularly next week's films, but like they really are films that show that even though he was this incredibly talented fight choreographer, martial artist, he still was going, I'm a filmmaker. Mm. And coming from that quote I had last week from like an interview he did where he was like, first and foremost, the skill that I'm like most compelled by at this point in my career is directing.
Mm.
Above acting and fire choreographing and being a martial artist, I guess I'm a director.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is like something we should say at the very end again, but like his acting is always cute and funny. Mm. His choreography is always good. But like, yeah, it is the directing that you notice changing and improving.
Absolutely.
Which is something I think you'll have more of an eye for than I do. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you really felt the, like you missed the sort of like maximalist history. I did say to you at the end of this season, like I really do think we could do a whole other season on his films. He's so incredible. Like every one of these films is the easiest recommend. But one that we didn't do that
you have seen.
Is like if you're going to watch like three of his films or two of his films, you need to watch Millionaire's Express, which is like a Western sort of Looney Tunes, Buster Keaton style.
Sick.
It's a mad world.
Oh, a caper.
Like heightened like martial arts film.
Damn.
And it's just like getting to watch him play in like a big sandbox in a really cool style, like, you know, the West, like cowboys and stuff. But like it approaches that like nonstop sight gags, nonstop.
Awesome.
Sort of like bits and skits, like vibe that adore the rest of these films.
Mm.
But if I wanted to get someone hooked on Sammo Hung, I would probably still be
that's
like
first up
that one.
Well, you know what? The first movie we're talking about today in part two, Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
Mm.
This is one where it was like Sammo Hung, who we really love by now, doing a like Haunted House Scooby-Doo kind of movie. This is going to rule. Should we get into
what we thought of it? I would love to. So the two films we're talking about today, we should say.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking about that. We're talking about Encounters of the Spooky Kind.
And then Wheels on Meals? With Meals?
Wheels on meals. Yeah. I also kept thinking it was Wheels for Meals. That's
wheels
not what it
on
is.
Meals. Wheels on it's meals. Just Meals on Wheels, but the other way around, other which way we'll around. Explain.
Wheels but, on Meals, which is the first of the very successful series of films. Not all of them are directed by Sammo Hung, but like with the big three. The big three being Sammo Hung, Jackie Chan, and Yuen Biao.
And who we already saw in Knockabout.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I feel like this opening hopefully hasn't implied that these films aren't literally fucking incredible.
Yeah, they're still mostly, so funny and entertaining and stuff, but it's just they're a little more, there's like a little sophistication in there.
Yeah, mostly that it has been fascinating to be like, oh yeah, he very much warrants this like retrospective because he has such variety as a filmmaker.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about Spooky Kind.
Thank you.
Eliza, I know that you are a fan of weird titles and just generally goofy titles. This is a pretty goofy title that we love, Encounters of the Spooky Kind. What are some other great Sammo Hung goofy titles?
1978's Dirty Tiger, Crazy Frog. He obviously plays Frog.
Duh.
He's got The Owl versus Bombo, and he plays Bombo.
You never have to tell me which of the ones he plays. Yeah, if it's like
the, he's gonna be Bombo.
The beautiful Valiant Eagle and Schlorpo.
Fat loser.
Like, yeah. He will be Schlorpo.
He will be Schlorpo. Mr. Boo meets Pom Pom.
Oh, that's
it's
a bit
drink,
hard.
It's a bomb. Where's Officer Tuba? He's Officer Tuba. Mr. Vampire 2.
These sound AI generated.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're great.
He really is. Yeah, don't worry, guys.
Spooky,
he
spooky?
Doesn't stop getting spooky, spooky.
I think he has a... So with Encounters of the Spooky Kind, we're getting into a particular... Like, he has heaps of kind of horror...
Adjacent.
Yeah,
thing.
Again, spiritual kind of ones.
He very early on was going, as we talked about, I'm not just like applying... You know, I'm not doing the same thing over and over again. He is interested in playing with genre. This is this really incredible... I don't think it's obvious. I obviously don't think it's a copying situation. I'm also think it's a, I love whenever it's clear that there's an idea in the air and who's going to sort of strike while the iron's hot. Encounters of the Spooky Kind comes out in 1980, 1 year before Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead.
Right.
And they are both very much on the pulse of that idea of horror comedy is too reductive. Like the idea that like, something scary is something that is like mocking you or playing with you. It obviously is allowed to be funny, but the nature of how it teases you is by sort of playing with you like, you know, you're just like a mere mortal and it's going to crush you under its boot. So with Encounters of the Spooky Kind, Sammo Hung really sort of introduces this concept of... like zombified hopping corpses where there is still his classic, you know, really inventive martial arts choreography. It utilizes the surroundings really well. It utilizes, yeah, like the
it's
world.
It's another period
around
one,
him.
Like Knockabout as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, this Zhangxi genre of like zombie-like creatures just really... again, heightens the way in which, like, if you give him more tools to play with, like, physics and geography of a space, he can do incredible things. There's so much to talk about with it, but let's start with, because I do want us to talk a bit about, like, visually the way in which, just like Evil Dead, it isn't just funny. It is, like, has a lot of really creepy images in it.
Yeah, there's but some bits that are quite scary.
There's this amazing wire work moment in particular that we were like, wow, which is, like, it's this wide frame shot from inside a house looking through a door. And in the far background, it's like storming outside. And you see these zombies like lowering from the sky, just sort of like hovering.
It was a little bit like Salem's Lot, like the kid hovering outside the window. Like there was something quite beautiful about it.
Oh, so beautiful.
It was like a crazy opera production or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just super, super creepy and like beautifully shot. Again, that like he wouldn't just allow something to be goofy, that he would also like allow it to be beautiful and creepy as well. But I think it is immediately such a match made in heaven to be like, oh, what his really inventive brain does when you introduce a supernatural element, something that can fly. Like the set pieces that stick out in this to me being the zombie, when it comes back, it's sort of like it's possessed by this. Essentially, we'll talk about the sort of convoluted plot, but the main thing you need to know is Sammo Hung keeps having to spend the night in a haunted
and
place.
He's like the bravest man in town. His name is like Bold Chang or like Courageous Chang. Yeah.
And they get
it's
him to spend the night.
It's very Scooby-Doo. I wonder where this trope came from because it's in a lot of Scooby-Doo episodes where it's like, yeah, you'll win all the money if you spend one night in Creepy Mansion or whatever. Like it's Cantonese that, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's spending the night there, and while he's in there, there's this wizard dude that possesses corpses by going like, oh,
like just gibberish. Like
I was going to say,
he does it for maybe like 40 minutes of this movie.
Most of the film is him shaking his head, and that isn't us like doing a really offensive interpretation of a language you don't speak. He's literally going, like that's the sound he is making. And he possesses the form of these corpses that are inside their coffins in the house. And like the first set piece where you're like, oh my God, this is such a match made in heaven for this material with Sammo Hung's brain is the zombies moving around, but they can't see. They can only see wherever the possessed dude, the dude that's possessing them is moving them. And they move in this like hopping way.
Yeah, it's like a traditional folkloric character, I guess, in like, I don't know, Hong Kong folklore or something, this hopping vampire. It's really strange.
It's really weird.
I haven't heard of it before.
But like watching Sammo Hung have to like, dive
jump under them while they do a big hop or something
and like hang above them and like, you know, hang upside down, like just above their head
and like knowing do ab crunches when they hop or whatever, so they don't bump into it.
That was
what
my
think of the hopping guys. I feel like there was the thing that they could like, I guess, through like wire work lean down like Michael Jackson Smooth Criminal, be like and be like parallel to the floor. And then, like, you know, erect back up. There was something quite scary about it. Whereas, like, they can, I guess, like a, you know, a kung fu master, they can, like, launch themselves around so quickly.
Again, I think it, like, allows perfectly for him to, like, there's something about this restriction of the hopping thing that feels better than, for example, a zombie doing, like, a slow walk.
Shuffling around. In a way that, like, to be an actual opponent to him. Because otherwise he's just going to mince him.
Exactly. It gives, like, a limit to the way in which he has to navigate them. Mm. It's sort of like any game where it's like once you know the rules in which to beat it, you know, like when we watch fucking Hundreds of Beavers, you know, like you know that when he leans down from the thing, they hop.
The mechanics of it,
he's going to have to do a crunch for it to, if it's just a walking zombie, there's no interplay there between like how he has to navigate their specific set of abilities, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much creepy shit they do with it. Like, it lets you laugh at it while also being creepy.
Yeah.
There's the bit where he's like hiding under the table, but he knows that it's seen him and it fully does the Michael Jackson lean so that like, it's not like, you know, if you checked under the bed and you would be reaching down, it's literally like a body just fully parallel to the floor looking at you. It's super creepy.
There's also, I mean, you mentioned Evil Dead. There is a part where it's like, you really wonder, did Raimi see this? Because there's a part where the evil sorcerer who goes, whatever, possesses Sammo Hung's hand like Ash in Evil Dead 2, and it's like flailing around beating people up and he like stands on it to try and like get it to calm down. It's like acting with an evil hand, which I always love. Like, I love seeing Bruce Campbell do it. I love seeing Sammo Hung do it. It's like pure Stooges shit. It's so good.
And again, like the supernatural, like adding this supernatural horror element to a martial arts film is like, oh, when else would you get to be like, oh, we can do, I get to choreograph an like a fight sequence where I am fighting people off, but also fighting my own hands, but my hand is fighting them. Like, it's a setup that could only happen in this film, and he's so good at finding as much comedy
it's
in it as he can.
It's perfect for his character as well. I actually love in this movie the contrivance that he gets possessed. Because I feel like it suits Sammo Hung so much that it's like he's this hapless.
Yeah.
Like he's like this, he's like a pedicab driver again, kind of. He's just like a local courier guy who's getting cucked by his evil wife.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, oh my God. But yeah, he's just like a hapless oaf or whatever. And everyone's like, hey, I'll give you this if you do this spooky dare. He keeps getting roped.
And he's like, chill.
Them. And so then I love that the excuse to get him to do awesome fighting is that these evil magical sorcerers are like using him as like a voodoo doll or whatever, basically. And so his, you know, his hands will become animated with like awesome kung fu power. And then later on in the movie, they're like, to show off all the different fighting skills that we also talked about in Knockabout. They're like, I'm going to possess him with the spirit of the monkey or the dragon or whatever. And like his face changes and like his whole demeanor changes. I think it's so funny. It's so cool.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a really neat way of him being like, how can I show off all my skills, but they still fit this dumbass character.
Totally. And that it applies to other characters in this one as well. Mm. Like towards the end, there are like random side characters who've just been like weaselly guys, you know, who get possessed and suddenly are like fucking amazing at fighting. And then the second they're not possessed anymore, they'll be like,
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Can we talk about the plot a bit?
Yeah, good luck, I guess. Oh, actually, quickly before you do, I was thinking in this one we talked about how there's a B plot character in this, and it made me think about how I feel like Big Trouble in Little China, the John Carpenter film, and particularly Kurt Russell's character in that, Jack, is very much a like Sammo Hung type, where like a lot of Sammo Hung films have a like the side male lead, like the B plot lead, is the more traditional action movie star. Like they're very wise. Mm. They're really like conventionally look like a movie like star. They really know the solution to problems. They're really like charismatic or poised or whatever. Mm. And then the joke being that like the lead character that we follow is like a hapless sort of like oaf who things sort of go his way a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that thing in Big Trouble in Little China where like he's sort of useless.
It's actually his mate doing all the hard work.
But his mate is the one doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
And this film has elements of that joke where like he sort of just like stumbles. It's the idea of like that weird guy that lives down the street stumbles his way into a big movie. You know what I mean? Which I really love. I think it's so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, the competent pal is like the cool sorcerer guy who...
Yeah.
I don't really know why he helps him out so much, but he sort of is like, oh, you're going to that evil haunted house? Like, well, do this and that.
Because
like,
he hates I'll come and look after you. It seems like he just hates... The bad guy of the movie is a dude
he's like the sorcerer's apprentice kind
You're misusing of. Your our magic sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, explain the plot, Eliza.
Oh my
God.
Okay, so we've only talked about spooky fighting and stuff. But the plot is that Sammo Hung's wife, this no good slag,
evil vixen
is cheating on him with a mayoral candidate, like a, you know, influential, powerful guy in town. And the guy wants to kill Sammo Hung, like scare him to death so that he can be with the wife, I guess. So he frames Sammo for the wife's murder. At the end of the movie, this guy, the evil mayor dude, has been defeated. It turns out the wife, you know, she's just run away with him and she was just in hiding. She obviously hasn't been killed. And she comes out and puts on crocodile tears and runs up to Sammo Hung and is like, oh, I can't believe you're framed for murder. Look, I'm here. I'm fine.
So there's a trope in Sammo Hung films and every single one of his films, it gets to the end of the film, there's some sort of like quippy moment and then at the end of that, like it'll like be like quip. Freeze frame, the end.
And the characters are often, they're like falling over and they're in the middle of going back into fight again. They're like, ah, and then it freeze frames.
And then there'll be credits rolling over the freeze frame. What's the freeze frame of this film?
It is Sammo Hung does not buy her story. And while they're embracing, he pulls away and punches her in the stomach like 5 times and then picks her up and throws her. And so the last freeze frame is him and his wife and her like flying through the air as he in a rage has beaten her for cheating on him.
And screams, bitch!
It was so out of pocket. And like...
It really was
just
like...
a sudden burst of energy and like domestic violence where we were just like... staring at it slack-jawed, like we could not believe this is how this spooky movie ends.
For that, as it's... Because already it's supposed to be an ending that has you be like, whoa, big finish. But for it to be this, like, extremely out of touch, really violent
Yeah, it's like this evil woman
as
getting
a joke,
her comeuppance.
It's a comeuppance ending of, like, this fucking woman, am I right? And I'm like...
Don't think we forgot about her. She has to get beaten up too.
Like, it's... so misguided. It's like really fucking bad. Like we literally was like, it's...
We went back and rewound it. So like, what the fuck?
Because in Function, it's supposed to be a bit of a sudden ending, but it really happens bad. We're going to reckon more with Sammo's attitudes towards women later next week with a film that clearly is him trying to have the conversation with himself in some way, but... There is distinctly, particularly in this film, just the unassessed attitude of the only female character being
an evil whore,
an evil whorish a gold digger who exists to get beaten to the degree that they fly through the air. And then you look at all the people who worked on this spectacle.
Yeah, she's just
frozen frozen in time.
Another mark against this movie is there seems to be unsimulated animal death in it. Like a chicken's head gets cut off and we're like, I don't think they could have faked that. That looked real.
That looked really real.
That was fucked.
It's true. I would say the main critique for me with this film is this is a case of knowing the strength of the thing you're trying to do format-wise and simplifying it from there. There's a film we're doing next week that I initially thought I would feel that way about, and then ultimately
it
found
more than this
that
movie.
As the more interesting element of it. That yeah, like cool. It actually was like, no, again, we're not doing knockabout. We don't want to do just like a very loose
a
format that you know as showcase of ability. We want to do this like hangout movie. Whereas this film, I was like, the juice of the film is a goofy guy being tricked into staying at a spooky place. And the plot mechanics that happen around it are like slow and uninviting. I didn't really care about anything other than like when he was in the house doing spooky things.
Yeah, it was you? A little bit, I get what you mean. It probably, I think also that it was like ghosty, spooky based. I went in with high expectations and thought I would love it. And I didn't, it's one of the weaker ones that we've watched.
Yeah, it's still really great. It just like when it's not in the house.
I can see how it started off a little film. Subgenre with the Jiangshi.
Yeah, me
with
too.
These particular ghosts.
Me too. But in particular at the start, like until only once you start seeing the like monsters are you like, oh yeah, this is a special one. Like again, I still think it's amazing, but
yeah,
I don't think a particularly like the stuff outside of it.
His character wasn't as likable, and then the ending leaving such a sour taste in my mouth. This woman getting punched out of the stomach. Yeah. It's crazy.
But I do think that it's worth it for the interplay of Sammo Hung plus like zombie creatures. Because like there's multiples, again, knowing that every set piece isn't just another version of the last one you watched. Everyone is its own thing. Because there's also that sequence where one of the zombies he doesn't realize is like linked to him.
Yeah, and it's like copying him.
It's like he's sort of doing this like Abbott and Costello ask, like they are mirroring the same action without him realizing.
And he tries to like mime bashing himself in the head with a brick so the zombie will do it, and the zombie bashes him with a brick.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's like very classic stuff.
I would still very much recommend it.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd like it. Did you find yourself let down by it or?
Maybe like a tiny bit. It's still great, but. Yeah. I just thought I would like it more than I did.
I still think it's really good. I do think it's one that I would be like, you can sort of just start looking at the screen once. Not that I would recommend you being distracted while you watch a movie. Yeah. All I mean is there are other films of his that I'm like, no, stay with the story as well because it actually has its mind on that more. Whereas this one like asks you to be invested in a story that I didn't feel like it cared about very much. Like the juice of the film is the set pieces.
Yeah,
so why is the story
as
complex
as
it is?
As other movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just think like if you're going to make us do that much other work, then make it interesting and compelling.
Oh, well.
Yeah. What do we got next?
Beep, beep. Let's do some Wheels on Meals.
Rooty toot.
Aren't you two forgetting something?
How about channel 27?
Blood pressure of 160 over 80. Heart rate of 88. Normal sinus at this time. Respiratory rate of 18.
Everything is going to be all right. You only have to stay inside. You only have to stay all right. Do not look outside. Do not look outside. Do not need to look outside. Look out, look out, look out, look out, look out.
Okay, Wheels on Meals. Yes, the title is a bit confusing. It's because apparently, I mean, Wikipedia told me this, the studio, Golden Harvest, their past few movies that they'd released had started with an M and they flopped. And so like just out of pure superstition, they were like, don't call it Meals on Wheels, call it Wheels on Meals. I was like, sure, I guess that's funny. I don't know. It's it doesn't make sense, but
it's just Wheels for on no Meals. Reason.
Yeah.
Not Meals. What your brain thinks it is. And they also called it Spartan in other places.
I wonder
it
why.
It has sequels called like Spartan 2 and stuff.
I wouldn't understand that. Right? It's called Wheels on Meals because the guys, the main characters in it, Jackie Chan and Yuen Biao run like a food truck, which is obviously on wheels, van on wheels. And then they also use a sick little skateboard to zoom around and serve people food from the food truck.
It very much is a big case of like, how the, you know, when like you see a really fucking talented person and then you learn they can also do another thing really well and you're like, that's not allowed.
Yeah,
like Jackie Chan, I kept being like, that has to be a stunt double. And then I was like, nah, that's literally him doing kickflips and stuff.
I think it makes sense. If you're amazing at martial arts, why wouldn't you be, you know, you'd have amazing balance and stuff.
Well, you were mentioning there's a film about them, again, like Jackie Chan and Sammo were like friendly rivals slash obviously key collaborators because they grew up at this academy together, which is sort of like, what's it called? Peking opera. Like it's like a variation of martial arts and like circus.
Yeah. Tricks it kind to a degree. And there's a almost like a biopic-y kind of movie that I don't think could have fit in our marathon. Like I don't think Sammo Hung is that involved in it, but I'd like to watch it because it's sort of, it sounds as if whatever academy they went through to become these incredible artists, like it sounds like how people talk about like, you know, freaking Russian ballet school or whatever.
Yeah,
but like
it's the trenches.
Dance moms. So it's like,
oh, don't you think
we
that
were
about
really abused and like physically pushed beyond our limits to be able to do this stuff?
Watching anyone this talented at this many things, you're like, your childhood must have been absolutely like, like bordering on, if not complete, like abusive obsession of, skilling up, like improving your skills. But yeah, no, very big film for that idea of Sammo as
the big
this bro. Community giver, like someone that's always like platform friends.
He does take quite a back seat in the movie.
He really does. Mm. And
he has a little Jerry curl. He got a perm. Welcome to the 80s.
It's a new look for him. And as you said, he is the least like present in the trio. So he directed this one. He didn't stunt choreograph it. Jackie Chan did. But it is, I know we were talking a bit about, maybe it's because it's the last of the six films we're doing in this marathon that I watched, but I am glad that before it ended, I got one more that felt very much like just a spectacle of like comedy and action. This is one of the best.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so fun.
Didn't you feel like halfway through this movie, I was worried because there'd already been sick action-y bits. It had already been funny, but it felt like quite a slow burn. And then by the end, it completely pays its debts where like it didn't have as much, I guess, comparing it again to Knockabout or Into the Fat Dragon or whatever. Like it at the start, there's like quite long stretches without action.
And it takes a long time to connect two side, like parallel plots.
Yeah.
There's like a B plot and an A plot happening that like feel really separate for a long time.
Yeah.
But then it culminates.
But once it gets there, oh my God, Jackie Chan's choreography is incredible. Oh. This like long extended third act of them going into a castle to save the girl they like and her mom, like it is just banger after banger. Like
you can try
and
describe the plot, but it is very, oh wait, no, I'm doing this one. I will try and describe the plot.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, no, you are. I forgot I did speak again.
Well, you can do it.
It is very Mario.
Yeah,
it's like Mario.
It's Mario Brothers.
And there's a bit
where Yuen
Biao was wearing green and I was like, he's totally Luigi. And we hadn't seen Jackie Chan's costume yet. And I was like, I really need him to be wearing red. And he was wearing like a red
kind of
like jacket, but it had other colors on it and it made me sad. But it very much is like adjacent.
Who's Sammo Hung then? Like Toad or something?
Yeah, he's like Toad or some shit. Okay. He's like there, but like he's not like the main dude, you know? What is the plot of Wheels on Meals? How would one describe it?
It's about, the Mario Brothers. they run a simple food truck and they sort of become fixated on a girl. Oh my God, it's in Barcelona, I should say. Why is it in Barcelona? Like behind the scenes, we understand why, because Barcelona like gave the production a lot of tax credits seemingly and was like, yeah, you can do whatever. You can crash cars in this big area. We don't care.
They'd also become so famous that they couldn't shoot locally in Hong Kong anymore.
Because people would like mob the set.
Because people would
know
who they were. And The Way of the Dragon had come out a few years earlier, which was shot in, what's that? Where's that set? Rome?
It was like, outside
it's
of
like,
China or Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was sort of trendy,
so it was the
I
idea
guess.
That now they could. Which we'll speak more on what that does for the film in a bit.
Yeah. But, it starts with a shot of like Sagrada Familia and like all these like Gaudi buildings. And you're like, huh, this is crazy.
And it does mean you're watching like Japanese dubbing over
awesome
Spanish actors, which is crazy.
It's like they become, the two bros become fixated on this girl, who their dad, one of their dads is in like a mental asylum, I guess, like a care home, and he's dating a woman there, her daughter. They become quite fixated on and follow her around. She is working as a sex worker, but seemingly just to rob people, like to snatch people's wallets. And so she's always got, goons after her. He was like, hey, you stole my wallet. Like, give me what I paid for or whatever. And she like, you know, tears up and is like, I have nowhere to go. I'm sorry. Can I stay with you? And both of them are after her and are like, yes, you could stay with me. Meanwhile, Sammo Hung is like a loser assistant to a private detective who is played by Dorothy's ex from Golden Girls. I flipped out when I saw him. This poor guy. Okay. anyways, and the guy is in money trouble and is like, Sammo Hung, you're in charge of the detective agency. And Sammo Hung is like very cluelessly taking on a case of a wealthy count, a Spanish count has died and his estate is going to his illegitimate daughter that was birthed because he raped a maid of his. It turns out the maid, deep. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm spoiling all of it.
No, no, like, it's, I need it for my
so
brain too.
It's so crazy and elaborate. So this evil guy's money will go to the Princess Peach and her mom.
Yes.
And so the evil guy's evil son is trying to knock them off. And so he's always sending thugs after them because he wants the estate or whatever. And so the Mario Bros are like, we have to look after her and get her the money.
So initially, yeah. Initially it's like, oh, there's this like she's a thief and everyone's trying to catch her because she's a thief. And then it's like, no,
she just
also
happens to be a thief.
Trying
she's
to get her because she's the illegitimate
heiress
of this big fortune, which is fully like a fairy tale-esque, like we have to rescue the princess from the evil castle.
They literally have a castle.
It's so, already set in a grand castle.
So Sammo Hung is the assistant to who?
A detective guy. He's basically like
to
a
the
detective.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's been asked to find this girl as well. But
he's
once
in one
he's,
scene. This dude instantly like.
But he's from Golden Girls, which made, that's all I wanted to say. It's crazy. But yeah, he like is on the trail of this girl and keeps bumping into the two brothers. And eventually they all are allies and are like, we have to save the girl and her mom.
And as a trio, again, the three like big stars of already what is like a huge movement at the time. So like very cool meeting of worlds. And it is so constantly fun. I didn't really have the same thing of like a
you
big
didn't feel like it took a while to get
until
there.
The action because there's so many like inventive sequences. It also has that thing of like I think the pairing of Jackie Chan and Yuen Biao as brothers is so fucking cute and works really well. It opens with a montage of them like waking up and them
sleepily
just being like
doing their morning routine.
All right, here's our morning routine. And it really did make me be like you can do anything with your life. Like I could have chosen to make this.
I could have woken
routine.
Up today and bashed some wood with my forearms.
They wake up and
muscles.
Do those like martial arts things where it's like the pole with the different like.
They're like grappling with it and like bashing their
grappling
arms
with
against
the
bashing.
It. And then they like do, they like link legs and do sit-ups and like have a morning duel.
It made you think I want to do that.
And then they drink full glasses of milk and go to work. Yeah. Well, it made me be like...
They do a flip off their balcony.
That's just their morning. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. The stunts in this.
Yeah.
So there's a one in the opening where, like, the joke is, yeah, that they can never go out into the hallway because one of their neighbors is always having an enormous violent fight with
his wife. His wife is always
about
to kill him because he cheated on her.
Because he's an adulterer.
Like, well, I guess we got to go the other way. And they flip out the window.
So they flip out the window onto one of those, what are they called, pagodas?
Yeah, like an awning.
Like an awning that's like a little trampoline that makes them flip.
And Jackie Chan does the splits and gently folds over it. It's so sick.
It's really graceful and gorgeous. And then when the next dude flips, the guy pulls in the awning. So you essentially watch Yuen Biao
slam onto his coccyx.
Slam onto his butt from the first story of a building.
Yeah.
Then you get, again, so yeah, in theory, we haven't seen any big fights yet. But then you see them, because you know there's going to be a vehicle in the film. There's going to be a food truck. But it's like a freaking Batmobile car where you get to watch them. It's never relevant again. It's just, it's like in animated movies when they animate people making food and it's like really pleasing. There's a whole sequence that's just like them pressing buttons on their cool tricked out food truck to make like, you know, it makes the food tray pop out and then it makes...
When Yuen Biao threw a skateboard at Jackie Chan in slow-mo and you saw it flipping towards him and him landing on it, I was just like, I'm so grateful.
Well,
like this rules.
Moves from this freaking food truck getting pimped out into him skating around the plaza with a little notepad taking orders.
Everyone wants a Coca-Cola.
People are like, I'll have a Coke. And he's like, one Coke. Blah, blah. And I'm just like watching their little system was a film in and of itself. Like that was enough for me.
It's like Mario Brothers watching them. You never get to see them doing their plumbing. That they
yeah, I just want to watch them plumb.
Okay.
And then
there's a motorbike sequence in the plaza.
They fight some plaza bullies with their motorbikes, which made me thought, this is the thing I want to speak to with the Barcelona thing, is like if one of the consistent tropes of a Sammo Hung film is a easily dismissed goofy guy that ends up being extremely capable. Having one of these films set in Barcelona means there is for the first time the presence of the idea of like how that extends to being like foreigners in a white country that like works really well here. Like the idea that
they're fishes out of water, definitely.
And absolutely. And
there's no explanation, of course, of like why there is this particular community of like incredible martial artists.
Totally. But even just running into each culturally, other. The idea of being like, you know, there's a comedy set piece where, again, them as brothers is like super goofy and fun, where they are letting this, you know, like possible thief sex worker like spend the night at their place, and their way of being like, oh my god, there's a sexy girl here, is having like a battle of hosts, what's the word, like being a good host, like
hospitality,
like, you know, like one of them will be like, okay, I'm going to bed, and then like when he's not looking he'll come
the other
back
one comes
out
and be like, I got your blanket,
and then the other dude will be like, I got you a pillow, and it's like them just taking shit from each other's bed to bring out, and you're like, it's sort of playing on that idea of them as people that like are constant, you know, like being in like a foreign land and being in like service work and always doing things for other people. Like they are trying to win her over, not by being like sexy or schmarmy or anything. They're like extremely schmarmy. They're like extremely sweet, like really, really like like non-threatening, which makes them being like really badass.
I guess that's what you love about Mario as well, isn't it? That he's just like, oh, well, it's a day in life and a little bit of work. I gotta go save her.
Yeah, exactly. I just found there was so much variation to it. But then, yes, when they fight, they kick
on. It's also the escalation of like in the other movies we've seen, we haven't seen this degree of like car stunts. When the van leaps over an overpass and then lands in like a truck with like truck beds of oranges or whatever. Oh my god, the car stunts, the bike, the skateboard. It really is wheelie. It's a wheelie.
Like,
good movie.
I was like, I need a really good car chase.
And you got it.
It is a truck going over a bridge, landing in another truck. There's also, I should have mentioned in that plaza fight with the bike bullies, the BMX bandit bullies, it's so incredible. Bikes, two motorbikes driving head on at Yuen Biao and Jackie Chan and them jump kicking them off the bike.
Crazy.
Like mid-air jump, kick, they stop, the bike keeps going.
It's sick.
It's fucking
sick. It's unfakeable as well.
Absolutely. I would say the star is the castle ending has a fight between Jackie Chan and this fucking tank.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in other stuff, have we?
No, we haven't.
A kickboxing guy, right?
There's this kickboxing guy called Benny Urquidez. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. His nickname was The Jet. And
it's so brutal. Like, I feel like the story of the fight is like by the end, they have like fallen in love. Like, they have so much respect for each other and completely understand that like they just are fighting. Not because they hate each other or like because they're even thinking about saving the girl or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like they're like, someone has to win. And at this point, it would be weak of me to stop fighting you. And so in agony, they just keep going at each other. It's so fucking intense.
It's really that idea of a fight that like once it goes for long enough, it extends to being like such an insight into like, you know, what the mindset of a fighter must be to be like, you see the moment that they both clock, like this is the fight of my life. Like this is the defining fight that I will have in my life. You know what I mean?
It's like so romantic.
But it is like, and also it's a thing Sammo directs so well that he directs really well in this is the moment of like Yeah, it is like sex or whatever, like foreplay or sort of the like, it's always the moment before, you know, the breaks in between.
Yeah, when they're really panting and they're like gearing up, like doing the fisty cuffs, like getting their hands up again.
Yeah, you know,
it's
that,
like, oh that my God, are you really like going to keep going?
Bruce Lee is famous for the like, you know, wiping blood
yeah,
from
the
your lip.
Yeah, the mental games of like wiping your nose, licking your blood, like yeah. showing that you're in it.
And like, you know, before like the flinches or the like the fakes, like trying to catch them out. Like that is like always so tense. And in this, yeah, at first it's them both having this big front on, but like as the fight goes on, it's literally like, I'm like, I mean, you really see Jackie Chan unmasked. Right? Like, you see him become like through being so exhausted, much more like playful or like jokey. Like
yeah.
he's becoming sort of like, all right, I guess while we're here, fucking let's fucking do it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like he becomes looser. And you see the other guy sort of let go of his facade of being like, I am literally a brick wall. Nothing has ever come close to shaking me to being more like fed up.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
It's an interesting combination of like features of fighting choreography and like storytelling. Because my mental image of martial arts movies doesn't usually include like a strong sense of sort of exhaustion
yeah.
or like
yeah.
a really like embodied sense of what it actually must be like to go through that, to need to continue sustaining the energy as you yeah. just know that the other person or people are doing the same and you're like, can I outlast this? Is like quite a realistic thing, but totally. Not really something that you see a lot. Whereas weirdly, I feel like you see that more in like gritty action movies where it's not,
like
martial
a John
arts
Wick, where
centric.
By the end you're like, he's gone through so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that, or like a
Die Hard,
Fast and the Furious. Like, is that a thing? I haven't seen any of those movies. But yeah, it's like a weird meshing together of those two things because, like, I haven't really fully thought through the point that I'm trying to make here, but I'm pretty sure that it exists. In like gritty action movies, I feel like usually the feeling that I'm left with is a bit of a lack of like substance or something, or like there's a bit of a like flimsy morality that is not really, it's doing this very like cult of the individual, like Western, like independent hero sort of thing as like the virtuous aspect of being the person going through like that gritty, difficult, arduous, like fight, combat, like whatever it is. But in a lot of martial arts movies, a lot of my experience is that there's like a bit less of that. Like it has a bit more of a kind of
that they're sort of
collective feel, or just that the scene is less like individualistically glorious or something. Like
yeah, there's more respect between fighters. Maybe
there's more there. I would associate an American thing with being like, as you said, it's like you're an individual. And then the plot is going to happen to you and we'll see you at the end, which means that everyone you face along the way is like faceless. It's like in a video game, you know, they're all like NPCs sort of. Whereas like there is something so inherent to, I still wouldn't say this breaks the idea that like, again, it sort of feels like a fairy tale format. You know that this is our hero, this is our bad guy. They are going to get the girl and get to the end. But the thing that gives it life is that in that fight, they are responding to each other. Like it's better acting than like 99% of acting because it is like inherently cinema of like the body. It is people like using their body. They can't use their brain, which equally it's directed by someone who is like a very embodied person because what we are watching is a skill set that lives in the body. So they are actually transferring energy. They're actually reacting to what the other person's doing. Like in a take, the way they will particularly get hit or like trick, you know, imply that they're going to hit them and then don't do it will make one of them laugh, which will make one of them react. Like it is so playful in a way that is inherently about giving humanity to both people. Like there's no way that that fight could be about the brute guy maintaining this trope of like, I'm a big tough wall and never change because otherwise the scene would die. It wouldn't work. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something about the way that it's directed to heighten their bodies that's so specific to what Sammo Hung and his like troop of people that he makes movies with can do. In particular, I'm thinking of that sequence where he does a bunch of really fast movements all at once. Like, you know, you've been watching all these wide, stunning coverage that kind of shows you all the action. And then there's like one series of about 8 really sharp punches where every single punch is an insert shot.
Right.
So it's like shot, 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 yeah, shot.
Or like in a wide one, they'll suddenly show someone's foot getting like jabbed with a pole or something. And like,
yeah,
you really feel the impact.
Yeah. So it's like really that thing of when you are directing to the choreography, the way in which you can capture what it would feel like in your body for that. You know what I mean? It feels like you're like in his like POV almost capturing the sharpness of those punches. It's not just a disposable like, and then the fight happens. It's like, no, the fight happens and it costs you something or whatever it is.
I want to say the thing you're talking about, Anthony, I have really like watching Sammo Hung movies has really taught me to notice it more. Like people getting hurt and fucked up and what it brings to a scene. Because obviously most of the time we're talking about like the martial arts of like, he did this kick so well, he did this, you know, punch so well. But it's like, I wonder what the balance is like between being skilled at that and being skilled at taking it.
Yeah.
Like there is like an interesting top bottom dynamic.
Yeah.
Where it's like sometimes you'll watch like Yuen Biao gets kicked in the face and the way he reacts so like kind of clownishly and like staggers away or whatever. You're like, oh my God, I love you for how you reacted like that, like taking that punch.
Mm.
And it makes me think of wrestling as well.
I was just about to say, I know you love wrestling for that.
I love wrestling. And I love the thing that like, if regardless of if the person is like a heel or a face or whatever, the person getting beaten up, if they go through it long enough, the audience will start to love them. So it might be like a hero beating a bad guy. But if the bad guy takes too much abuse, at some point the audience will start rooting for them. Because it's like you're hurting yourself for us, for our entertainment. Mm. Like, thank you for what you're doing.
Imagine could be like quite a contributing factor to how in a lot of these movies when you have like one central prodigiously good person at fighting, usually the way that that manifests is them fighting a lot of less talented, not individualized like goons en masse, because then they're like, evenly spreading, dividing.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care about that guy.
All of that like violence between a whole bunch of people instead of having this like very intense, quite like humanized like dialogue of a thing where there's like so much like violence, pain, whatever being received by one person in particular where you're sort of forced to be like, yeah, actually what would that be like?
Yeah, so I think Fast and the Furious is a great counterexample where it's like, I don't care about Dom anymore. If he died, I think I would laugh.
Well, you know, like, that same thing
so
is
so impenetrable. Like he never takes any serious damage.
They're superheroes, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Dwayne Johnson clause that he had.
Yeah, like, I cannot be defeated. I don't like you now.
There's no film where I can be defeated. And you're like the most incredible action stars of all time, skilled action stars of all time. Like at the earliest point of their career. You know, we talked last week about Enter the Fat Dragon happening same year as Jackie Chan is doing, like introducing the world to his Drunken Master bit of being like the best showcase of skill and talent and comedy and charisma will exist not in me being a badass, but in me being sloppy.
Having some human frailty in there.
Yeah, like and me like flopping over my, like, you know, like getting beat up and me being a drunk, like moron, like that is like the hubris of that you are like so fallible in this goofy way where you still are also like really talented and skilled is so much more mature than being like, I am the best because I've never lost. I've never been challenged. I've never broken a sweat and I'm never going to lose.
I am a superhero.
Like what's impressive about that?
Yeah. A Jackie Chan bit in this movie that I really liked was, again, in the castle bit, there's a crazy gymnastics part where he has two wooden poles and he's sticking them into the wall of a castle and doing these incredible gymnastics, like bar tricks to flip up to the top of the castle.
Me.
And that was awesome. But what made me be like, this is awesome, funny, cool, best goated, whatever, is like when he reaches the top, there's like white guys, thugs at the top playing baseball, and one of them accidentally throws a baseball and it conks him in the head and he falls down the whole wall. It's like if he had just made it to the top of the wall and started fighting, I wouldn't remember that bit. But it's the pathetic and humor of like you got bonked in the head with a baseball and so it was all for nothing that makes it like, fuck, that was awesome.
He's just showcased literally, it's like bar work times a million. Like yeah. He's literally like making the bars as he goes up and then instantly falls down.
Them. And I got to say, yeah. aside from these physical beats, Jackie Chan like didn't impress me that much in this movie. I think what because, do you mean? I don't know, I didn't think he was that funny or charming. Like, I think because I'm primed to be like, Sammo is superior and like by now I like him much more than Jackie Chan and he's underrated and rah, 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 some yeah. contrarian bullshit. I was like ready to be blown away by Jackie Chan and be like, oh yeah, this is why he broke into the mainstream and like was such a success in the West. And I was just like, no, I don't know. I think Yuen Biao and Sammo Hung have more star power than him in this movie.
I think Jackie Chan, I think the definitive thing for him is the Death Wish. Mm. I think it's interesting that this is the, of the Sammo films we've watched, all have incredible, dangerous work being done, but
once Jackie the Chan first is one with Jackie Chan
that we of his that we've seen with Jackie Chan in it is the first one that has, I would say, three stunts in it that I'm like, oh, like if you're on set for that, you're like, I'm gonna watch someone die today.
Mm.
Like things that are just ridiculous showcases of a young person that's like, I'm willing to die. I might die today.
Yeah. Like
that's the thing. Because those big stunts are the things that broke through a bit. Right? Mm. Like the police story stunts and stuff like
yeah.
that. I actually thought that you this goofy him? Brother dynamic played off them both quite well.
But compared to Knockabout, I like that goofy brother much more.
It's true. I liked Yuen Biao more in this than Jackie Chan. So yeah. There you go. Well, I will say I think Jackie Chan in the fight is a star. In the fight with Benny yeah. the Jet.
Yes. Benny the Jet.
Oh my God.
Is his name Benny?
His name's Benny.
Oh, maybe. Is that why it's called, the Jet?
That's so good. I love that. I would say of the six films we are talking about for this marathon, this would be one of the like tops to recommend. Mm. I think it's constantly entertaining. I think there's so much variety throughout it.
There's a bit where they go to a freaking nightclub and they're wearing pastel 80s jackets and they're like gently dancing around like Wham. It's so good.
They're like, I need to move around. We need to dance. There's also a love skateboard montage.
Yeah, where they're trying to impress her with skateboard tricks.
And the song
tricks.
Is like, love.
Wait, I have the lyrics. The lyrics
yeah, yeah,
are,
yeah. Can you do the lyrics?
I may wear makeup, but my smile is radiant. Because of faith, I take action to realize my dream.
Hell yeah.
This part of the movie where they're doing skateboard tricks and that song is playing, I was like, wow, it's just challenges. It's oh, just yeah. challenges and Mario Brothers.
It's just Jackie Chan doing little skateboard tricks yeah. and like high-fiving his dude and his Princess Peach. And then she at one point does a cool trick and they're like, what? Like, it's really dumb. Yeah, an almost five-star film for me. I think right. it's pretty much exactly it's very good. Perfect. It's fucking very, great. Very good. And anyone could watch it. I would probably show this to an alien and be like, here's what we've created as a species.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think it's a good indication of what we're capable of. And yeah. I think, again, I will come back to, I think it's a beautiful extension of the idea in Sammo Hung films of always being yeah. underestimated to make it about being Asian in a white
in Europe and
city.
Yeah, everyone saying, hey, what are those Chinese boys doing?
Yeah,
and
you're
they're like
oh,
doing
those
the most incredible shit you've ever seen.
Literally like the invisible adventures that they get up to when yeah. they bring you your Coke in the morning.
And Barcelona,
you know?
Like the buildings and stuff is crazy.
Yeah, it really is some weird. Of the,
like touristy landmarks.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
get to film at.
I loved it. I love yeah. Sammo Hung still.
I love him more and more.
Every it really
even
is wild.
Even if he punches his fake wife in the stomach and throws her in the air.
It's one of the things about him I like less. But we'll speak a bit more about that and yeah. his attempt at tackling the patriarchy literally.
He does try and tackle more in the movie.
He tries to tackle,
next week.
Punch and kickbox the patriarchy next week.
Wow.
In part three of our Sammo Hung Midnight Marathon. We love you dearly, Sammo Hung, and we love you. Listener,
yeah,
thank you so
for
much
listening.
For listening. You are currently listening to us, not on Patreon. These are our good old normies. Hey,
it's
friends.
It's the whole world listening.
Don't worry. We speak about you with love and no contempt over on the Patreon.
You don't spend $5 a month to be part of our Patreon. That's okay.
But hey, you could. You know, that's fine if that's like a thing that you felt like doing. You know, what's a thing that you bought for $5 this month, Eliza?
I don't know. You always ask me this and I don't think I buy anything that's like $5.
You bought this.
Even a coffee that I would get is like
you
$6.
You bought some yum Korean gummies.
Oh, yeah. They were $3.
There you go.
Actually, you know what? $4.99 last night. I bought some peach soju.
There you go. Look
but
at that.
But I would give it up if it meant listening to this great podcast.
I like to think that 3 hours of us talking is better than that iced tea. Maybe that's 3 hours? My hubris.
Well, it's actually like a whole my month arrogance. Of double the episodes. So it's very
no, that's good what value I mean. For money. That's yeah. like 3 hours. It's good value for money.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can do that. You can become one of us over on our Patreon to hear the third and final part of our Summer Hung retrospective.
Yes.
And other than that, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Goodbye.
Bye. Anthony, you were in Barcelona, right? Feeling yeah. honeymoon. Did you see any cool comfy fighting?
I certainly didn't. No. No.
Weak.
Only me fighting
to get your luggage.
To get my luggage.